Happy Friday. Listen to this new artist I found. His name is AJ Gant. He is so good. Happy Friday, everybody. Isn't he good? Awesome background guitar. Anyway, I guess I should get on about my father's business. But I love good music. And so, yeah, this guy's awesome. Awesome. I just want you to hear a little bit of a guitar, though. He's so good. He's so good. And if you know anything about Austin, Austin loves good music. All right, I'll shut it off. And I'll get... Isn't that great, though? I just like it. He went down to the river. Anyway. He went down to the river to be baptized. He's so good. Golly. Happy Friday. Okay. I can sense that the body of Christ is tired. And, you know, it's cool. It's cool. It's kind of to be expected right now. But if you're tracking along with God, then you also know that God gives you new strings for every day. And so tiredness is not our portion. Even if you feel it, you just keep pressing through it. So anyway, welcome to Friday. Welcome to the 15-Minute Rev. I'm Dr. Missy Hood. I hope you have enjoyed your week. And I'm kind of glad to have kind of a quiet day. I'm going to get this replay up on the board. And if you catch me live, great. If not, I'm not upset with you. I'm just happy you joined me at some point in the ballgame. But hope you're having a great week, and I hope you even have a better weekend. But before I get you to your weekend, I have to tell you what the Lord is speaking to me about today. And talking about what he's doing in the nation, what he's doing to us as Christians. And the title for today's Rev is called The 50-Minute Rev, Dissolving the House of Cards, Bringing Saul Down While Raising Up David, the New Superman. So anyway, it's based on 1 Samuel 26, 1 through 28, 25, and it talks about kind of a conversation between God and Saul, where it's talking about Saul's tearful words, and he's giving this I'm going to be blunt about it. He's giving this blubbery explanation of why he disobeyed God, and is thinking that that's going to change God's mind about what he's already decided to do with Saul. Saul's at this point in the conversation is losing the kingdom. And so God really could have cared less about Saul's fake tearful words, because God saw that he was still pursuing his own heart, not to mention his servant David. He was preserved. Saul was always into his own agenda, and he was pursuing David for no reason. And so God had had enough of it. And he also knew that what was provoking Saul was his own refusal to deal with his own jealousy and envy over another man's calling that he would never have. And so, you know, God gives us opportunities to serve him. I mean, to do things his way. And actually, Saul had had his chance, and he thought he knew more than God, so God replaced him. And so sometimes we can miss opportunities that are standing before us because we are so determined to do things our own way. And God's like, okay, I have next. He's like, next. Talking to the next vessel, next. And so this is the new place that we're standing in right now, where God is saying, it's my way or hit the highway. He's giving people ample opportunities on all seven mountains to serve him in a godly capacity, even in government. He's giving people fair chances to do the right thing. And we see it in the church. We see it in government. We see it in all avenues of society. And so God's like, next, next, next vessel, next, time to go to the next thing. Because God's kingdom is going to come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so after losing, you know, opportunities, I think it's kind of hard for our heart to accept as it begins to reflect on the shoulda, woulda, couldas, only without remorse. And so God sees the motives of the heart. He sees what should be happening. And if we're going to approach kingdom, or we're going to approach God, we're going to have to learn to attain his heart and do things his way. So this is the new place we're standing in as a body. Even if we're fatigued, even if we think our sloppiness doesn't matter, it does. It matters in this hour. Your attitudes and your heart will take you places or keep you out of places. So many are learning this, and many are even going to come into the place at the end of their lives where they approach him and say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, it's too late. You had every opportunity to serve me, but you kept doing your own thing. And so sometimes our rebellion can cost us huge opportunities, which means we've also negated the blessings that would have come with those opportunities. So I hope that's not you in this hour. I hope that God is using you to help build his kingdom. because he definitely is negating man's kingdom right now, and he's building his own. And so we can make our plans without ever considering God's thinking, or with even in the mindset in our own rebellion of thinking he's just going to agree with us and come on board with what we think we're going to do. And God's like, no, you're not actually. And we can also think that we're going to stop his kingdom from coming with the people that he's rising up in this hour. And God's like, no, I'm sorry. And he's not going to argue with us. He's not going to try to convince us that his way is the best way. He's not even going to waste his time. He's just going to say, I'm going to continue moving on. And if you get in my way, I'm going to run over you like a freight train. And so this is what we're seeing right now, actually, with different things that are going on. With what God is raising up on all seven mountains within America. And so we can make our plans without considering God's thinking, or we can actually come into alignment with him. But what I'm finding too is that a lot of people step into tremendous disappointment when their plans don't match up with kingdom, or when they think that they're going to have their way instead of allowing God to have his. And so I hope that's not you. And in Saul's case, because we have a lot of Sauls that are being brought down right now, and, you know, it's interesting to me because God did give him another opportunity to repent. But the problem was that at that point in the ballgame with his conversation with Saul, Saul's heart had become too hardened. Has your heart become too hardened to listen to God, to make amends with God, to actually change and align with God? It's never too late to align with him. It's when the door shuts that the door's shut. You can't go back. You can't change anything that's happened now. And so this is what happened to Saul. And even David, believe it or not, in this point in the ballgame, had just won a great victory over Saul. But he then, because of his immaturity, and so these are the two people groups, by the way, that are operating in this hour. But David even made a mistake because in his immaturity and foolishness, he forgot to inquire of the Lord. And I believe it was because of the learning process that David was in as a young leader that he had forgotten about that God likes to be included in our endeavors. He likes to be included. And this is an hour, actually, where if we don't include God, because God knows the end from the beginning, and God also knows the weapons that the enemy is going to be using, he knows what we're going to, the weaknesses that we're faced with and that we struggle with in our own lives. And so God knows what it's going to take to win the battle. So in this particular battle, David had gotten discouraged and he stopped serving God and thinking he was beginning to think about his own survival instead of allowing God to take care of him. And when we include God in everything that we do, we don't try to take care of ourselves. We're not worried about, you know, what if I do this and what if I, you know, do that and what if I step out here? We know that God's got us. If God's with us, if God be for me, who can be against me? And so we don't stop serving him to begin thinking about ourselves just because we've gotten fatigued. And if you do begin to think about yourselves, you're going to lose the battle because you can't engage the enemy with your natural. You can't. You've got to have God's super on your natural in this hour in order to win. And only God knows what weapons are needed for your particular region, for your particular area where God's using you to fight. And so he's finding out, actually, because of the separation that's going on, who is truly a part of his heart and his forces, and who's just pretending or lying to themselves about their service. This is genuinely what's going on in this hour. And so I believe, honestly, from what I'm observing at this place in the battle, that there are so many people that are just emotionally worn out. They're emotionally fatigued, and they've gotten offended with God. They've gotten offended with people. They've gotten offended with church leaders. They're offended. They're just, anything offends them. Everything offends them. But now they're beginning to argue with God, and they're trying to tell God how to run his show and how to run kingdom. And God's like, you need to back your truck up out of my driveway. You need to back that attitude out of my driveway, and you need to align your heart quickly with my own, lest you be judged. And so God knows where we're at. He also knows who's operating in the flesh, who's standing in the spirit, even in the fatigue. He knows this. He knows our limitations. He knew we would come to this place. So the only thing he's asking us to do is to stay aligned with him so he can continue to expose the pretense and the hypocrisy in all seven mountains on the international, federal, state, city, county, personal levels. And so, again, it goes back to the truth that God is separating the true sheep from the goats and trying to help us see who we can go to war with. He's trying to let us see who he's taking to war, and he's showing up and helping win the war. And so if you don't feel like you have a power, a lot of power behind your prayers and a lot of power with you when you go into the courts of heaven, that might be because you're going in alone. You're not seeking God to find out what he has to say strategy-wise about your circumstances. Because if you know anything about God and about this time and season, you're only saying, you're supposed to be saying what you hear your father say. And God's okay. I mean, he's trying to let us see that he loves us, because he's okay with our limitations, but he wants to be included. He wants us to begin eating, breathing, and sleeping him. And so the Lord's saying, he's showing the true sheep. Excuse me if I can speak. He's showing the true sheep who they can go to war with, but only if they listen. Because ultimately, God wants to be the first person on our list so that he can help us to win. Because there are a lot of evil hearts out there that are refusing to get honest with themselves. They're refusing to listen. And they're in wrong standing with me, says the Lord, because they don't know my ways. I hope that's not you. So the Lord's saying, in this hour, make no impulsive decisions about significant matters, but instead wait on me, says the Lord. Wait and be of good courage, and I'll strengthen your heart. Because as we wait, he's giving us strategies of victory. When we learn to wait, we learn to rely upon him so that he's able to add his super to our natural in all circumstances, where all things we do become supernatural. We bring out and live out heaven here in the earth. And so we're not worried about, you know, how big our foe is. We're not worried about what words are being spoken of us. We're not worried about what's going on in the courts of heaven against us. We know that God, if God be for us, who can be against us? And so on the flip side of that truth, anyone stuck in the flesh is finding themselves getting left behind, because the flesh or the occult is no match for God. They're finding themselves to be no match for God. They're starting to lose every battle, especially when the church chooses to stay stuck in witchcraft right along with it, or in Jezebel, in a Balaam spirit, or in the devil's fleshly ways, including seeking ancestral spirits or LHSs of the demons, or by allowing unholy speaking spirits to guide them. Are you listening to the right spirit? Are you testing the spirit? 1 John 4:3. That's just a thought, you know, because the spirit that you listen to is the spirit that you submit to, is the spirit that flows through you. You know that, right? Your spirit, God's a spirit, the devil's a spirit. And you can think that you're hearing the right spirit, but you're being led farther and farther and farther astray. And so there's a way that seems right to a man, but if it doesn't align with love, God's not obligated to hear or answer your prayers. So we need to be testing the spirit that we think we're hearing and inquiring of the true and living God, because Superman's arising through him right now. You notice my Superman emblem on here? I like him. And he's also doing it so that all mankind can see the anointing and the glory that's rising up through Christ on his vessels. But God is the one adding super to our natural, not himself. And it's for those who would choose to follow the true, warm, unconditional love of Jesus and not their own version of who they think he is. Which brings us to John 11:1-54. That's the second part of this conversation where it's talking about the attributes of love. The attributes of love. And if you know anything about love, there are different aspects of love. And it speaks about love hearing, or love being able to wait on God. How well do you wait on God? About being able to take a risk through love and step into love and trust in love in all things. How well do you take a risk and trust God when he tells you to do something? And then love being able to comfort and weep with you when we actually get caught up in ourselves. And so we're going to talk about the first attribute where love hears. And, you know, if you know anything about God, his love keeps his ears open to our cries. He's always listening to his children. He's always waiting to interact with us and to hopefully help us in any way possible. But could it be that if you're not hearing It's because you're not listening to his heart, but only your own. Could it be? Because God really does want to interact with you, and he really does want to help you in your situation. But if we're listening to our own flesh and doing what's right in our own eyes, then we're going to have a hard time hearing the true voice of the shepherd. The Lord says, my sheep know my voice, and they only follow after me. But if you're listening to your own voice or to voices of other spirits, then you're going to have a hard time, unless you're learning to test the spirit, to differentiate between the truth and a lie. And so, you know, I talk to people every day who complain that they feel like God is not listening to them. He's just not listening to me. God doesn't love me. You know, he's not answering my prayers. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I have to actually respond and tell them that's because you're not listening to what he's telling you to do. You're not listening to what he's telling you to do. So when we stop with getting our prayers answered, it's because we've turned to our own ways instead of following what God is saying is right. And we're in a season where many are obeying and following God in the spirit, and they're drawing nearer to him while he's drawing nearer to them. And as God draws nearer and nearer to mankind is what's causing the pressure I talk about in C2. Remember, I told you there was going to be pressure that was going to be building at the beginning of C2. And it's the pressure caused by holy fire and the pressure from strange fire that's brought on to the vessels, because God is using it as a separating force to show him and give those vessels an opportunity to choose whom they're going to serve. He's giving them an opportunity as he draws near to the surface, and he's showing and exposing those that are not of him. That's what he's trying to show the mankind right now. And so if that's true then, and if a vessel is still stuck in their own delusion by their own shortcomings, God will allow his holy fire to touch that vessel. It's called part of the refining fire's process to force the needed changes, so that we can either then come to the conclusion of doing things God's way or hitting the highway. Because in this hour, we're slowly seeing the power of God shut off on unholy vessels. And they can learn one of two ways. They can learn it the hard way or the easy way through alignment. So we can either fall on the rock, or the rock can fall on us to teach us proper alignment. But in this season, God is no longer mincing his word with what he says truth is versus who you might think he is, or a vessel's perversion of what they want truth to be. He's saying, do it my way. Do it my way. Or I won't come near you. I won't flow through you. I won't touch you or use your vessel. I can't use your vessel. So it's called forced compliance. Because as we move through CT, we learn that we do have the choice to work with the devil or strange fire, or become refined by God's holy fire as we allow God to transform us. We're learning these things. I don't know about you. I'm learning these things. And this is the pressure that I was talking about before, is God's readying us for the eye of the needle in August. The Lord's saying, don't worry for some of you who are trying your best. And I'm not trying to make excuses or give you room to make excuses if you have gotten stuck in the spirit of Saul. But now is the time to quickly move into position, or to be willing to move into position of change, so that you don't lose doorways of opportunity. Because the longer you wait, the more difficult your ability is to walk through them and into God's heart, or the place he's trying to utilize your vessel. Okay? So another aspect of God in love is that mankind has forgotten that the true love waits. This goes back to waiting on God in the courts of heaven, to wait what God has to say about a situation. And the heart that knows true love, or knows the Lord's heart, learns to wait on God to act on its behalf. We don't have to defend ourselves. You don't have to defend yourself in all things. Matter of fact, you don't have to engage all enemies who try to engage you. You don't. You don't even have to give them a time of day. Take it to the courts of heaven. Let God do it. So in the midst of battle, God's saying our ways are not his ways. And sometimes waiting, if you learn to wait on God, will bring a greater blessing, because waiting develops God's character within us by forging endurance, perseverance, and the ability to stand in greater levels of anointing. or the presence of God's fire. The more of God and love we house, the more pressure you can endure for the days ahead. To where when circumstances or battles arise, we know just how to maneuver through them because we've allowed God to adjust our hearts from times past, from seasons past, from last season's battles, which has prepared us for where we're walking right now. So God's delays then are not God's denials, which means we have to trust God and his timing in all things. And sometimes delay doesn't have anything to do with your blessings or your ability to win, but everything to do with what God is trying to do inside of you character-wise. That's what he's trying to build. He's trying to prepare you for what you're asking for or what he's trying to prepare you for and what he's told you he would do in your life. And then sometimes love risks a thing. Because Jesus never worried about what would happen to him when he went into the enemy's territory. He didn't. He just went. He obeyed the Lord. And sometimes love will place us into hard situations that we would ordinarily not choose to walk into. God is trying to develop nobility within us. True kingdom nobility. Which comes from fighting alongside of the king in all things. Learning to rely on his knowledge, his leadership and ability, and thinking about things that concern us. God said, if anything is good, if anything is pure, if anything is lovely, think on these things, because God's ultimate goal is to bring us into his courts with praise and thanksgiving, knowing which king we're serving. Are you serving yourself? Not the devil, not ourselves. Or are you serving Jesus Christ as king? Who is the only one allowed to sit on the throne once he's entered into our courts. And by the way, in this season, he's not sharing his glory with anybody. Not anybody. And he's looking for hearts of humility so that he can utilize and flow through those vessels. Those are the hearts he's going after. And then if you know anything about love, love also comforts and it weeps for a heart that can't seem to understand his ways. I've met a few people in my life, especially in the last 4 years, one individual in particular, and this individual would throw fits and tantrums when Jesus wouldn't give her what she wanted. And she would rail on the phone to me and complain and berate God. For I finally had to tell her, look, man, your behaviors make you look and sound like a titty baby not getting their way or like a spoiled brat. Who thinks berating God is going to change his mind? This is an immature vessel who actually thinks that throwing and kicking and throwing a fit with God because you refuse to grow up and you refuse to change and be changed is going to make God give you what you want. God's not moved by our flesh. He's not. Matter of fact, this person, and also her actions showed me that because of the way that she conducted herself in the past, these behaviors were the same types of behaviors that manipulated her own parents and bowed to her every whim. And God's not moved by this. It's usually a spirit of Jezebel operating through an immature heart. It doesn't think it has a problem, but it grieves love. This behavior grieves love when we choose to stay stuck in our flesh because God can't seat us beside him in heavenly places. We have to get free from these attributes of our heart if we're going to rise and seat ourselves or let him seat us beside him in heavenly places. We can't seat ourselves anywhere, actually. But these are the things he's trying to change. This is what he's trying to force us into maturity out from under. Because God's ultimate goal is to teach us to serve. Quit serving ourselves and to learn to serve other people. And we can make up excuses all day long. But true love isn't in the kingdom to see what that heart can get from the Lord. It's in the kingdom to see how God can use it to help other people. With what God is trying to get to his people. And there's no religion in that statement. Absolutely none. There's not a hidden agenda. And that heart knows that its service isn't about building their own pocketbook or their own dynasty. But that heart has no other motive but to serve the king. It's just trying to be used by God because it enjoys his presence and it wants to help people. Which brings us understanding. I think that in order, what God is trying to get us out of, if you haven't noticed the pattern, to me, this is my opinion on this, is that, you know, we've seen what technology can do, and we've seen what education can do, we think, you know, because it's all man-made. It's all man-made. But when you learn to serve a holy God, there's nothing about that that's man-made. It's all kingdom. It's all supernatural. And understanding that God's ways aren't man's ways. It's not man-made. It's God-made. And if God's going to use a vessel in this hour, we're going to have to be God-made, not man-made. Because God is not about a self-seeking heart. He's about a heart that's seeking Him. And so if we're going to choose to be self-serving or stay in immaturity or aligning ourselves with hypocrisy, then why should we expect God to show up? He's not showing up for the hearts anymore. He's turning the power down on vessels like the Sauls, who refuse to change and be changed, or who think they don't have any issues. Because I heard this through another person online the other day too, and I'm not going to speak who it was, but I was like, oh my God, the hypocrisy. But if listening to people say, well, we're going to get rid of the spirit of religion and da, 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 and I'm thinking, but you have it so strongly on your spirit. And it's just like, it's the level of pride that's operating on vessels right now. We refuse to let God search our hearts to show us what's going on in us. Do you know what's going on in you right now? Are you willing to look at what's going on inside you? Because this is what God is going after. It's why He keeps bringing the same topic matter up over and over and over again. And He's looking for hearts that want to be changed, and they want to dwell with Him in heavenly places. And the only way He can do that is if we allow love to come up alongside of us and show us about ourselves, so that we can get free from self and be filled with Him to help a lot of hurting people and show them a better way, a more authentic way, by the way. Because the apparatus of religion never did anything but put an innocent man on a cross, if you know anything about that. So a truly loving heart will always find a way to bear another person's burdens while demanding to stand within truth, the true virtue, true nobility of Christ, while displaying the King's reality and not our own. I was listening. One of my family members used to always say this. She used to always say, you know, Missy, perception is reality. But if you have the wrong perception, then you're not really living in truth at all. Your reality is false. You're living in a bubble. And I used to think, golly. And then I started observing this in other family members, even within my own family. And I love my family. But, and not just, I can't just say within my family. I see it in the world, even where people create these false realities around themselves to where they don't have to deal with truth. It's a way where we keep ourselves from dealing with the truths about ourselves. And if anybody dares to challenge that, then they're the bad guy. Oh, you're not right. You're living in conspiracy theorist. I don't know what you call it, but, or you're not a good person. You don't believe the same way I do. I don't want to believe the same way you believe, because most of those people are very, very happy people. They're very, very bitter people, very power. They're power grubbers is what I call them. A lot of them trying to obtain power within their own flesh while running all over a lot of innocent people in the interim, instead of allowing God to endue them with power. And so you can't make yourself into something that only God can create. You can't do that. You can't try to falsify and create a kingdom outside of the true and living God. There's no way. You're being used by the enemy's camp. So at some point, we have to submit ourselves to a power greater than ourselves so that He can actually make us into who we said, or who He said we could be. Excuse me. And I think a lot of people really get despaired or disparaging when they realize that things aren't happening as soon as they think that they should happen. And so they go back to their fleshly behaviors thinking, well, I'm just going to make it happen. I'm going to make it happen. And God's like, no, it's not going to happen until I say it's going to happen. And so this is an example of what happened to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, actually. And in this conversation, actually, Lazarus was standing in the background, but he was very, very sick. And so Mary and Martha had come to Jesus, and they're like, you've got it. They've got, they sent word to Jesus, like, you've got to come help my brother. He's very, very sick. And you know, Jesus had spent time with all three of them, and he loved all three of them, but he waited to come meet with them because he wanted to prove to them his supernatural abilities. And I think in this season, even for our country and for a lot of us who have been praying for things, we've had to wait on God. He's delayed a few things. He's delayed a few things, if you'd agree with me on that. I think he's delayed a few things, but I believe it's because he's also trying to prove to us who's God and who's not. And he's trying to see if we'll choose to step up higher into places of his spirit and to be changed by his heart in the waiting process. Because if you know anything about the story, they had seen his miracle-working power prior. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They'd seen and spent time with Jesus. They had seen the miracles. And like Mary and Martha, many of you have spent time with Jesus in past seasons observing his miracles in your own lives, having to wait upon his words and promises that built up your most holy faith from different things that you were asking for. But if you know anything about God, faith, true faith, only comes and is built by pressure. And that is the season that we're now standing in. We're at another level. We're dealing with another devil. But yet we have another opportunity for us to listen to what our Heavenly Father has told us in past seasons, if you're still holding on to the promise of the things that he's going to do. And you have an opportunity to stand. Stand. Having done all, stand. Stand. He hasn't negated on the promise. He hasn't changed his mind. It's why God tarries on your behalf, because he loves you. And it's your heart that he's after. He's trying to make us more like him. But the problem you're having is that a lot of you aren't listening to the Father, but instead you're listening to your fears. You're listening to your flesh, forgetting that God is a God that cannot lie. So like Lazarus, the things that we think are dead are fixing to arise if you'll hold on to your most holy faith. Just hang on. And the Lord told me to throw this in. The white hats are on the job. They're being used by Christ, and they're working on it, America. But now let's go back to Christ. Psalms 117, 1 through 2. And it's helping all nations to come back to him. Do you realize what's going on around the world right now? What's going on in the world is that, and you know, I'm not upset at all today. I feel like so many people are so tired spiritually. They're tired of the battle, and they're tired of battling the witchcraft. And by the way, the reason why you're fatigued is because the rich witchcraft is operating at such high levels that it's like a blanket on intercessors that's trying to get you to disengage. And you've got to press through it. You've got to press through it. And I know a lot of people are like, that's easy for you to say, Dr. Missy, blah, blah, blah. Well, no, I'm going through it with you. I mean, but I'm just pressing through it, and I'm pressing into another level of Christ where it's not affecting me as badly. Thank God. But the title of today's message is Dissolving the House of Cards While Bringing the Sauls Down. So God is hitting it in the natural and by the Spirit. If you know anything about the Lord, he's a multifaceted God. He is the ultimate multitasker. That's what he's doing. He's hitting it in the natural, and he's hitting it by the Spirit. He's bringing forward the Supermans. Let me put it like this. No, this. This. He's bringing forward the Superman. That's what he's doing. I can point the right way. But that's what he's doing. He's bringing forward all the Supermans. He's adding a super to our natural for those hearts who choose to listen to him. And if we're going to help or be used by God, we're not helping him do a thing. We're just helping to participate, to choose to participate in the process. But we have to remember that we're moving into revival. And so God has called his church to take the gospel all around the world. But the problem is that if we're trying to present the world with our version of him, they won't see him, the heart that refuses to change. They're not going to see him. They're going to see somebody that looks exactly like them. So, of course, he's got to align us with all truth. That's why he's forced us into this precious process, to align us in all truth in its purest form. But what I'm seeing in this hour is that God is literally, and I've never thought this before, I've never thought God would step on people's toes, but he is stepping on people's toes, regardless of what level you serve on. It doesn't matter if you've been serving him with a huge platform or you have no platform. He is stepping all over people's toes. He's like, get aligned. He's saying, hey, that's not of me. Get over here. This is the way. Walk in. This is my path. But there's so many bullheaded people that think that they know more than him. And they're actually arrogant enough to act that way and talk that way and to confront God that way. And he's like, okay, knock yourself out. I'll just pull my spirit back from you like Saul. And I'll let you see how far you go. Because you refuse to humble yourself before holy God. Remember God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I'll heal their land. So there's a strong course correction going on at present so that we'll quit worshiping ourselves or the false gods that we've lifted up, Hollywood and all these other areas that we think are so important, and come back home to the true and living God, to his heart. Are you helping the people of the world to learn about Christ, or are they learning about you? Are they just learning more about how you're just like them? We'd have a choice in that. Which means you'll probably blend into society because... oh, good. Good afternoon, girl. So I'm going to wrap up right now with Proverbs 15, 22 through 23. And again, you know, I want you to... hope you have a great weekend. I'm going to see if I can get my music back on because it's so good, man. I'll leave this guy's out. Because as I wrap up today, I want to leave you with a bang. And I want you to know that God is about your business. Okay, that's it. That's what I want to do. We're going to wrap up with Proverbs 15, 22 through 23, where it states, plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. And a person finds joy in giving an apt reply, but how good is a timely word? How good is a timely word? And so I hope this finds you having a great Friday. I kind of got on here early to try to find out, you know, I knew people were probably going to be tired. I knew I probably wouldn't have a very big show today, and I'm cool with that because I can feel the fatigue in the atmosphere. But I want you guys to stick it out. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit pressing in. And let me tell you something. The Lord's been telling me like the last 3 or 4 days. He's like, you know, I know you're fatigued. I know you feel like you don't have any more strength to come forward. But it's usually when you feel like you're not going to make it or like you're not going to finish that the test is almost over. So I'm going to leave you with that today. And I want to wish you a happy Friday. Leave you with some great music. And hopefully, we'll talk again on Monday. Have a great Friday, guys. I'll see you soon.